Podcasting from Singapore and broadcasting all around the world, you're listening to the EdTech Chat Podcast, taking the pulse of educators from all over the globe and bringing what you need every week. Now, over to your host, Craig Kemp.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the EdTech Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Kemp, and I'm thrilled to have your support. This podcast is sponsored by Schoolbox. Schoolbox is an all-in-one learning management system, community portal, and engagement platform for K-12 schools all over the globe. Schoolbox makes your life easy with everything you need at the touch of a button all in one place, so your school can connect, communicate, and collaborate with parents, teachers, students, and your school community from one platform. This week, I had the opportunity to speak with Wayne Brown, the principal of Whanganui Collegiate School in New Zealand. Let's have a listen. Today, I have the honour of speaking with Wayne Brown. Wayne is based in my home country of New Zealand and is the headmaster at Whanganui Collegiate School. Wayne, it's an incredible pleasure to have you on the show today. Are you ready to talk about education and technology integration?
Good afternoon there, Craig. Yes, absolutely. And pleasure to join you this afternoon.
Let's go. Why don't you start by describing your current role and what inspires you to do what you do?
So I'm currently the headmaster at Whanganui Collegiate School. And one of the great things that inspires me to do what I do is just really seeing students and youth in particular achieve their personal best. One of the great things I think, you know, is talked about with students is potential. I like to see them move past that potential and really flourish. And the things that we've been able to do here at Whanganui Collegiate School in particular through, you know, technology education and Schoolbox, is that we're starting to see that occur.
Yeah, it's a great journey you've been on as well. And I've heard nothing but inspirational stories coming out of the school and the region you're in. What excites you, Wayne, when you think about education today?
Yeah, great question, Craig. And I think that COVID has prompted a number of things. One, how do we utilise technology to the best of its ability? And I think that's really exciting what will come out of this pandemic. The second one in that is a revitalization of character-based education and values-based education that now, with the events of 2020, parents in particular and students are really linking in and holding on to that strong moral compass. And how do we actually define that strong moral compass in providing opportunities for students to learn in that space? So combined with the two, we have a real dynamic, evolving period of time across the educational landscape.
Yeah, and it's, I think you've summed it up really well there as well, Wayne, because I think that we're in a position where we're able to look at creating what this new normal is now, in particular in the realm of educational technology. And you're doing some great things there at Whanganui Collegiate. What's your best advice for educators in relation to EdTech?
I would say one of the great piece of advice, you know, for all learners, whether or not you're you know, a first year teacher or someone that's been teaching for a long time, is that we're all literally in the same boat. And take your time. You're not there. I'm a very passionate person about the word yet. With a number of our staff and teachers that grapple with technology, is that you're just not there yet. You don't understand it yet. You're not quite sure of its purpose yet. And as you start to evolve those and utilize that powerful word, teachers are actually starting to be able to provide incredible learning platforms that will work alongside students and their learning. And I think the opportunity for them to not only understand the content that they have and how to teach it, but more importantly now, it's the opportunity for teachers through technology to really understand how students learn. And one of those assets now is the utilization of technology and learning management systems to provide that.
Yeah, and you're a Schoolbox school and you've had a very successful journey using Schoolbox. Tell us a little bit about Schoolbox and why it's been so successful at your school.
One of the reasons that we chose Schoolbox was unanimously from our digital learning team is that it's an all-encompassing learning management system for us. And importantly, we are predominantly a boarding school, and therefore our students don't go home. You know, 85 to 90% of our students don't go home to mum and dad at the end of a school day. And one of the great things about Schoolbox and the learning platform is that it does bring the parent into the learning cycle. And they can see those results. They can have those conversations. So our journey with Schoolbox is not only in terms of the learner that's sitting in the learning space, but also the parent and bring them on the learning journey. And one of our great successes has been that. And look, we're at the, you know, working through it even more now, but essentially having everyone involved is fantastic.
And you've mentioned this briefly, but let's go into a little bit more detail about it. How do you and your teachers use Schoolbox, and how has it been received by your students and your parent community?
So we utilize it primarily as a teaching and learning tool. It's not just a depository of information to say, hey, here it is, it's on Schoolbox, go and do your work. For us, yes, there is resources and so forth on there, but we utilize that with good instructional teaching and a side-by-side method to say, here's your resources, here's videos, here's opportunities. What would you also like to see on there from a student point of view? And then we can align that with the learning aspect, and they receive the feedback that they've done through, you know, assessments and quizzes and different types of assignments. And they're able to utilize that feedback to improve through data analysis and real-time feedback, how to improve their results. Because at the end of the day, we are chasing those academic outcomes. But essentially, too, we're looking at the performance that will give you that academic outcome. And that as well, with real-time feedback for parents, has been hugely invaluable. So teachers have been able to also reflect on their practice and improve what they do. And so that cycle of continuous improvement, both from a student and a teacher, but also the feedback that is in real time to parents, has been hugely invaluable.
And it sounds like the journey with Schoolbox has been incredibly successful for you. And I know you're leading the way in New Zealand with the use of Schoolbox as a learning management system and communication portal and much, much more. There's going to be a lot of people listening today that want to get in touch with you and learn a little bit more about the journey you've been on and how maybe they can also go on that journey. What's the best way for the listeners to follow and connect with you?
Well, certainly they can go on to our school website and connect via my email, wayne.brown@collegiate.school.nz. The other way is they can follow myself and the school on our LinkedIn, Facebook, and my personal Twitter. And you can follow me in that space as well. So probably the best two forms of following the school will be on Facebook and LinkedIn, but certainly happy to help any educator or parent in that space, find out a little bit more about what we're up to here at Whanganui Collegiate and how we're changing the educational outcomes and success of our students.
Wayne, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Craig, and all the best.
Get connected at schoolbox.com.au. The links are in the description below. As I've shared before, I continue to work with the incredibly talented Mark Quinn to improve the final audio quality of this podcast. He has his own podcast production studio that provides editing and mastering services to content creators. To connect with Mark, please see the details in the podcast notes below. Last week, I talked about student voice and encouraging students to have a voice with EdTech in your school. If you haven't listened yet, go back and listen to last week's episode and spend some time thinking about it. This week, I want to take you back to the basics. In many schools that I work with all around the world, the emphasis is on strategy and building towards a successful implementation of technology plan. Unfortunately, not many schools do this, but instead, they focus on purchasing the latest and greatest pieces of technology that are snazzy, but have no evidence on the impact of learning. In my opinion, schools need to go back to the basics and think of their ABCs for EdTech in their school. For me, my ABC is A. Ask everyone in my community how and why we want to use technology to be better. B. Be approachable, open and willing to adapt and change. And this is for all community members. And C. Curate resources that will significantly add value to student learning. If I can't justify it, then I won't use it. In your school or classroom, what is your ABC? I'd love it if you can share with me on social media too, so I can share it in my next week's episode. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you for your questions that you continue to send in. This week, I wanted to discuss one question from Allison in Mexico. She asked, during COVID lockdown, we were forced into a digital learning situation without much time to plan or prepare. As a result, many of my students were without a device and without a way to learn in an engaging way. How are countries around the world addressing this huge concern of equitable access to devices? Thank you for your question, Allison. It is such an interesting time that we find ourselves in, that we're all doing our best as we go. Teachers, leaders, parents and students are all doing an amazing job globally to make the best of the situation and create unique and engaging learning experiences that suit the needs of their learners. Now, with countries going into second and even third waves of lockdowns due to COVID, we're faced with more requirements for online learning and instruction. One of my most frustrating observations that I've mentioned before is equitable access to digital resources. It's simple. If we expect our teachers and students to teach and learn in a digital environment via distance, then we must supply them with the tools they need to be successful. Most countries globally are not doing this. Governments and ministries need to follow suit with what is happening in local schools here in Singapore as an excellent case study for this topic. Earlier this year, before COVID struck, the Singapore government announced a detailed digital learning proposal for the future of Singapore education that spanned over a 7-year period for all secondary students receiving devices over that period. But due to the nature of circuit breaker here in Singapore and students facing long periods of at-home learning, they were faced with what countries all over the world have been faced with, and that is an inequitable access to devices at home to help learning. So in a move that I think is extremely bold and innovative, the education minister last month announced that every secondary school student will receive a personal laptop or tablet for learning by next year. An incredible forward-thinking approach to ensuring that there is equitable access. A move that the minister said is one of the ways the government, schools, and the community are working together to keep social mobility alive and ensure every individual is afforded the opportunity to do well, regardless of their starting point. More countries should be following suit. Yes, there's a financial implication here, but it's a great way to stimulate learning and future-focused opportunities for Singapore citizens. I hope to see more countries following suit with this initiative over the coming months and years. A tool that has positively impacted the authentic and purposeful use of technology into classrooms and meeting rooms that I have worked in is Green Screen by Do Ink. Green Screen by Do Ink has always been the best way for me to get my students making creative solutions to problems. It's a versatile and easy-to-use piece of green screen technology that actually allows multiple backgrounds to be used, instead of the usual green material which opens up opportunities for everyone. Students develop in-depth tech skills that transfer into other applications. Green Screen by Do Ink is great for culminating project-based assessments and offering learners a way to showcase their knowledge about specific topics. I highly recommend that you take a look at Green Screen by Do Ink in the App Store. The links are in the description below. This week, I wanted to discuss the concepts of creation over consumption, something that helps us go back to basics and choose tech solutions that get students making and creating rather than just consuming technology. I've always been an advocate for creation over consumption, and I'm a firm believer that apps are best when it gives learners of any age the opportunity to make and create. I know as a learner myself, I learn best when presented the opportunity to try, test and create. When schools are looking at their technology, I always recommend a 75% creation over consumption model and a focus on tools that add value to student learning. The elementary principal, Claire Johnston at Stamford American International School here in Singapore, would always say, "No tap tap apps," and I applaud her for this dedicated model to creation over consumption. What she means here by tap tap is an approach to using apps where the students sit and consume rather than make and create. If you and your school can follow a similar method, I highly recommend it. Let your students make and create instead of consuming content constantly. We need our learners to be adaptable, creative, and out-of-the-box thinkers in order to succeed and move forward in the future. For more information, or to receive a copy of my must-have creation-based apps for primary-age students, don't hesitate to contact me directly, and I'll be happy to share them. I hope you get the opportunity to explore these ideas in your school. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Every week, I bring you a short interview with some of my eduheroes, an engaging learning experience with someone who makes a difference in education every day, with a particular focus or angle towards educational technology. This week, I had the pleasure of chatting with the incredible Dean Gainey. Let's have a listen. Today, I have the honor of speaking with Dean Gainey. You might know him as @Dean_Gainey on Twitter. Dean and I have been connected for some time now, and I'm constantly in awe of his contributions to the teaching community. Dean is an educator and lifelong learner from Orlando, USA. He teaches English language arts and technology, and shares amazing resources and ideas daily through his Twitter feed. On top of all of this, he's also recently published his first book, titled Journey to the Why in You. I don't know how you do it all, my friend. Dean, it's an incredible pleasure to have you on the show today. Are you ready to talk about education and technology integration?
Absolutely ready. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Let's go. Why don't you start by describing your current role and what inspires you to do what you do?
Well, my current role as we finish up the school year is a fifth grade teacher at Sally Ride Elementary School here in Orlando, and been teaching for 14 years, been bouncing around between grades 3, 4, and 5, but totally enjoy the opportunity to, first of all, just be in the classroom, organic learning, authentic moments that are tailored to the students in the classroom at the present time. And I just really love the opportunity to be something that kids need. And I think to be present in the classroom and to really really give students an opportunity to see that there's a lot of possibility when it comes to their own lives, and giving them the opportunity to be able to be empowered and to grow and develop.
Yeah, I love the use of the word empowered as well, because I think that's a really fitting word right now. You know, I'm here in Singapore and you're in the US, and it's just great to hear such passion coming from you in the world that we're currently in. What excites you, Dean, about education today?
Well, and I will say, in the 14 years that I've been in the classroom, so many things have changed. I believe that just things in society, things in the world, and I have to consider those things because those things are, in some cases, altering how we perceive education today. And so one of the things that I have to mention is the impetus for change. One thing I always like to sort of bank on is that the only constant in the world is change. And change is not necessarily a bad thing. Change can be good. And I think in times like these, the changes that have taken place, the ability that we have now to see what we have not been able to see before, is really empowering for us as educational leaders to be able to better address the needs in our world, our society, our students, our students' families, whether those be needs of equity, needs of being able to make sure we can meet all of their the needs that students have or that families have. And so I love that there's an impetus now for change. We can see it. And now all we need to do is try to fill those gaps and better address what's in front of us. Also, I like the idea of, okay, now we're at a distance. So we're teaching students via distance learning, remote learning, whatever you like to call that. And so how do we continue to maintain high expectations? And I just believe that even though we have that limitation, so to speak, on how far we can go in terms of face-to-face contact with students like we would normally be used to, it also presents an interesting opportunity to meet needs in perhaps a different scenario and still maintain a high level of expectation and expectation for learning and to make it engaging for them. And so I love that it puts the emphasis on the students. And I've always been very fond of, you know, a student-driven scenario. In fact, a project I'm working on, you know, that will eventually come to fruition is the student-driven classroom and how empowering that will be for students if we approach it like that. So I love that this has opened the doors to sort of look at things from a different perspective.
The way that you've described the student-driven classroom, and from the tweets that I follow for a long time now on your Twitter feed about really a student voice and that impetus for change, it really excites me and it makes me think, wow, I'd love for my children to be in your classroom, because teachers like you don't come around all the time. And it's sad to say, I wish that all teachers had that passion that you had, particularly around the infusion of technology in your classroom. What's your best advice for educators in relation to EdTech?
Well, I would say, first of all, there's so much available. I think that being that we have been distanced from the physical classroom, it really has opened our eyes to really all that is available in EdTech. Everybody's sharing resources. Everybody is sharing knowledge about these different platforms that exist. And it can be overwhelming, to be honest with you, because there's so much that maybe you didn't realize. And so the learning curve can be steep. However, I will say, you know, even with educators that I have spoken to, that it really has opened up their minds to just how much they can do that they didn't realize they could do before. So even teachers are being empowered right now. But I would say, to choose wisely, that would be my first advice, because Because there's so much, we want to make sure that what we are doing is aligned to what we would expect as an intended outcome. But we also want to make sure that we are sort of walking down that pathway to that goal. So to clarify that a little bit more is, you know, let's say there's five different platforms that I could use. Well, which one is going to give the best outcome and be most engaging, but then help me to also to coach students towards being able to get to this intended outcome? So not everything is necessary to be used. I think you just have to decide what's going to work best for your students in the classroom. I'm going to put them before us because I always believe that the reason why we do what we do is for our students and not necessarily for us. And if we can work with that sort of prioritization in mind, I think that we're going to be better for it. Also, I think that technology is a tool for augmentation. It's a tool for supplementation, but it certainly is not something that should ever take the place of the face-to-face or what I mean by that is the actual interaction with the teacher. I think there's a certain value that a teacher brings to the table that can never be substituted for a platform or substituted for some sort of logging onto this thing and doing this thing and nothing else. The teacher needs to be involved. There's a certain human touch, human experience, considering the whole student that we have to make sure that we don't forget about.
And your use of the word augment really got me thinking there, Dean, about the SAMA model and the way we try and use technology really is that augmentation or that modification or that redefinition of learning. And so it's a really quite a cool link when you think about that. You also mentioned, you know, that replacing that feeling of a community, that feeling of engagement. And for you as a teacher, what do you do? What professional learning networks do you engage in to get that feeling of connection and learning?
Well, I will tell you that most of my time, and I say a great deal of that over the course of the past 5 years, has been on Twitter. I became really active on Twitter in 2015, May to be exact. And I have never looked back. I serve as one of the co-moderators for Florida EdChat on Twitter. And so I get the opportunity to sort of facilitate in that regard. But participating in all kinds of Twitter conversations throughout these 5 years in various different topics, various different areas, even just gleaning from the different posts and tags on Twitter, I've really, really gained a lot from doing so. There are, you know, certain things like EduMatch tweet and talks that happen that are very engaging and educational and impactful. And so stemming from Twitter, right, a lot of these things have sort of been born. And I think that there's so much to be gained from just seeing other people's perspectives and learning from other people in other geographical areas, and really learning from them sort of helps me to perfect my own thought process, my own, you know, understanding of things that, you know, maybe I wouldn't have seen something that way before had I not engaged in this Twitter conversation. And so that's where you're going to find me a lot. I do read a lot, partly because I'm in school working on my doctorate. So I'm always reading and always listening to various podcasts as well, because I think that there's no such thing as learning too much. So I'm always trying to vary my approach to engagement and learning personally so that I can continue to grow and develop as an individual and as a professional.
It's everything you said is amazing. And you mentioned doctorate and I just open up my eyes because honestly, I don't know how you find the time. You're an incredible sharer within your professional learning network, and not just sharer, but an engager in learning. And I'm really drawn to people like that online because I know that I'm going to get pushed in all sorts of directions to learn and grow. And that's why I use Twitter, similar to you. When you think about the tools that you use on a daily basis, Dean, what's a go-to EdTech tool that you love using in your day-to-day work that maybe you think the listeners today might be interested in learning about?
Well, there's so many things that I can say in response to that, I'm going to say one primarily because I believe that it's maybe not as well known as other platforms are, but at the same time, it helps me to help my students in a sort of comprehensive way. And it is called Fresh Grade, and certainly accessible from freshgrade.com. It is a, as a foundation, it is a digital learning, digital portfolio platform. And so what does it enable students to be able to do? It enables students to be able to demonstrate, showcase their learning in multiple ways. It actually gives them an opportunity to have learning extended. So let's say, for example, you know, I'm teaching face-to-face with students, or I'm teaching in a virtual meeting with students. I can then take parts and pieces of that either face-to-face learning or that digital learning and attach it to this digital portfolio where they will go there and continue, right, the learning process. I can interact with them in that particular space that's solely designed for them, and being able to make sure that learning sort of sticks a little bit more. It's so many different things. Parents can be connected, so it's their window into the classroom, and it's also multimodal. So students can reflect by typing directly into the platform. They can attach a picture, and they can attach a video, they can attach audio. And so it's not only a learning opportunity, but it's also a way to demonstrate that learning. And again, it's comprehensive, you know, something that can stay with that child all year long. And then it also is a way to show that, yes, this student has really progressed and has really mastered the skill sets. And it's not by way of a standardized test, you know, it's by way of all these different kinds of things that this student has done all year long that has demonstrated his or her ability to master the standards.
You've really described a lot so far in our chat, Dean, the power of learning and the power of continued learning and your real area of growth and the constant desire to read and grow and learn. Learning is important to all of us as educators. Can you recommend to us one book or a resource that you've been reading lately, or just one of your all-time favorites, and tell us a little bit about why we should be exploring it?
So this question, like I said earlier, I read so many different things, and it's not always a physical book. Sometimes it's an article, an online article. And to be honest with you, I think I'm going to steer a little bit differently with my response here, because one thing I believe is that everybody has some element of the piece of some piece of the puzzle. And while I can totally say that this particular book needs to be read, or this particular book needs to be read, I might be here all day because I've read so many different things for so many different reasons that have so many different realities in my professional and personal life. But what I will say is that it's important to be able to read variety. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, these authors, these individuals are writing from their experience, they're writing from their reality. And so you have these varieties of realities that you can sort of synthesize together, and it can help you to inform your own reality. And so it's almost kind of difficult to identify or pinpoint one specific book or one specific thing, because I think all of what I have read thus far have empowered me to be able to know what direction I need to go in. And so you take those different pieces of the puzzle and you can kind of assemble those together. And I think that you become better because of the variety and the different avenues that others have traveled down. You put all those pieces together and it really kind of helps you to be a better version of yourself. So if I can, I would answer the question that way, so as not to identify one thing specifically, but all things collectively.
I'm sitting here nodding my head. I wish you could see me. I'm smiling and nodding my head because, I mean, for you in your role, you know, as an English and language arts and technology teacher, you've sort of described like the dream position for you, because it's all about the learner and the learning process. And I wish more people thought that way. You've mentioned, Dean, your role, you've mentioned your doctorate. But what we haven't mentioned and talked about in detail is your book, because on top of everything else, you've also a published author. Tell us a little bit about your book. What inspired you to write it, and why should we read it?
Well, so this is something that I think about, the fact that this actually happened, and it wows me that this book came out in April of 2018. So it's just over 2 years now. The title itself is ambiguous. It's called Journey to the Why in You. So the why, representing the first letter in you, as well as the question, W-H-Y. And so it's important to make that distinction of the ambiguity, because not only is it important to know your W-H-Y, it's also important to have the why, meaning knowing the power that really rests in you. You as an individual, you as a person of purpose. And I just believe that everybody, you know, we all have our reason, our purpose for being here. And though we may not necessarily be fully aware of that purpose, it still exists. And I believe that the journey of life, hence Journey to the Why in You, the journey of life is to unveil that purpose. It is to show us who we really are. And I think all things considered, the obstacles, the goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, are really designed to unveil what that purpose truly is. And why do we need to know that purpose? Well, it's going to perpetuate itself once we are fully aware of it. I think that in some cases we're walking through things that will enable us to know it. You know, I've heard people say in the past, there's nothing that can stand in the way of someone who knows who they are, right? When you know who you are, there's nothing that can stop you, nothing that you can't accomplish when you really know who you are. And it is through your why that you know who you are. It is through your why that you can derive your purpose. And so Journey to the Why in You, the inspiration, I was already blogging because, you know, writing things down and kind of getting it out of my head and in a way that just makes sense to me. So I had been blogging prior to this becoming a book. And I had a conversation with another educator and just kind of threw around the idea of perhaps this is something that other people might want to read or be inspired by or be impacted by. And so I threw around the idea, thought about it, and decided, okay, perhaps we can pursue this as a book. And at that particular time, I think I had written 5 or 6 blog posts, which I was able to take and expand. So I expanded these 6 blog posts and developed those into, you know, chapters, and albeit not necessarily long chapters, because sometimes it doesn't take being long-winded to accomplish a purpose. Sometimes less is more. And so I developed those 6 things or 6 blogs into the first 6 chapters of Journey to the Why in You. And ironically, almost like it was planned ahead of time, the last 5 chapters just flowed. They flowed right after. So after I finished the first 6, the last 5 came almost as if they were planned that way. And there you have it, you know, Journey to the Why in You was born. And so quite honestly, this book is a call to reflection. It's a call to introspection. It's a call to really considering how other things, right, are pointing to our purpose. Other things are helping us to see that we have a why, we have a reason for being here. And that reason for being here, when realized, right, is going to help us to be able to move forward and continue to be unstoppable.
So inspirational. And what you've shared today with us, Dean, is truly is an inspirational journey for everyone. I know I am, and I'm sure our listeners are too, going to go away and read about everything you've talked about. I'm going to go check out your book. I'm going to go to your website. I'm going to learn about the things you're doing. And not only that, I hope the followers go and check out your Twitter feed, because that is what inspired me to reach out to you to have this chat today. What's the best way for the hundreds of people listening to this to follow and connect with you?
Okay, so you mentioned Twitter. I'm definitely on there all the time, at Dean, D-E-N-E underscore G-A-I-N-E-Y. On Twitter. So definitely find me on there. I do have a website, www.deangainey.com. And you can actually find me on Instagram. I'm always trying to post things that support teaching and learning, and just kind of share those passions that I have. I'm also on LinkedIn. You're welcome to find me on there. Definitely share as feasible different articles or maybe even blog posts that are written, are shared through LinkedIn, and definitely excited to connect.
I've just clicked follow on your Instagram right now, Dean. So I'm connected there. Thank you so, so much for everything today. It's a pleasure to chat with you. It's awesome to chat in person rather than on Twitter like we always do. Thank you for your inspiration. And I look forward to chatting again soon.
Thank you. I look forward to it as well.
Next week, join me for episode 15 of the EdTech Chat podcast, when I'm joined by two people that are always inspiring and engaging online and will blow your minds, Josh Stumpenhorst and Morgan Cave. One of the things I love doing is giving away prizes as a thank you for tuning in, listening, and hopefully subscribing to the EdTech Chat podcast. Last week, Schoolbox gave away 1 hour of free consultancy support to help you create a more seamless ed stack. To win, you needed to complete the form at bit.ly/edtechwin. The winner has already been contacted directly by me, and it is Chris Hayden. Congratulations, Chris. This week, our sponsor Schoolbox is giving away your last chance to get 1 hour of free consultancy to help you create a more seamless ed stack. This hour can be used however you want, so get entering. To win the hour of consultancy from Schoolbox, you need to go to bit.ly/edtechwin and complete the simple form. The link is in the description below. Competition closes on Wednesday the 12th of August, and the winner will be contacted directly by me and announced on next Friday's podcast episode. Good luck. If you enjoyed today's episode, please smash that subscribe button and share it with your colleagues, friends, and families. I really do appreciate your support. Please remember to spend 2 minutes to rate this podcast too, so we can reach even more educators and edtech enthusiasts globally. Please share your favorite part of today's episode by tagging me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And don't hesitate to ask me questions that I can answer in an upcoming episode. Remember, you have the chance to win as well. Check out the links in the description below for more. And I'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the EdTech Chat Podcast, creating a community for educators to learn, share, and grow. If you liked today's episode, please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And be in the drawing to win prizes every week. If you know others that would enjoy the show, please hit that share button and brighten their day. Join us again next week for your weekly EdTech Hit with @MrKempNZ. We'll see you again soon.